Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining me for the ROH and TNA post show for April 25th. I thank you guys so much for being here with me as we get back into business for our ROH and TNA post show. There are a couple of changes that have taken place over the past couple of weeks. First of all, Joel was off for personal reasons the past couple of weeks. Stuff that he's been public about that's not mine to speak to. They are back in action on the back end of this show. Very much looking forward to getting back into business there. We're very happy to have him back. We missed him while he was gone. Fightful's not the same without that fella. So very, very happy to have Joel back and to have this show back. It was very kind of nice in some respects, but very weird having my Thursday nights free the past couple weeks. The other thing is that Reg is not part of the ROH post show part of this anymore. He's decided to move on to other things. So I'm going solo tonight. We'll see what's coming up. I'm sure I'll coordinate with Sean. There's a lot of big fish to fry in the world right now, both regarding wrestling and Fightful, and far beyond that with way more important stuff going on with him. So we will let you know a plan of action. It's my understanding that the show is going to continue, which is good. I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to be here. Even if it's not the clearest direction of the product, I'd love reviewing any type of wrestling that we can throw your way. So Red won't be a part of it moving forward. Let me know in the chat. Let me know in the comments if there's anybody that you want to see. I know SP3 is always a ton of fun. We've had Kimmy Sokol on. We've had Kyle Sparks on. There's plenty of incredible creators. So if there's anybody that you want to see, feel free to let me know. I don't know if it's immediately going to be like me and a co-host, or if it's going to be me and rotating people in and out for a little bit, or what that's going to look like. To be completely upfront, this is a very expensive show for us to do. There's four hosts, and because of the nature of both of the shows, it's not the highest chatted show that we get. So we will do our best to move forward in the best way possible. But we are going to keep this train on the tracks. Thank you guys in the chat. I see you, Taylor. I see you, Matthew Hooks. I see you, Jim. So that's kind of where things are at. Thank you for your patience over the past couple of weeks. I know that we are normally incredibly consistent with the way that our reviews go, and that has not been the case the past couple of weeks. Killing it on my own so far. I appreciate you guys so much. And that is kind of all we need to catch you up on. But we will also remind you to get in your super chats. No humper chats tonight, just super chats, if you'd be so kind. And to please leave a thumbs up on this video. It's important with every show and helping people find us in the algorithm, but no show more than this one, because these are two, like, underdog brands in a sense. So if you could leave a thumbs up on this video, that is extremely helpful to us. We're going to dive in just a second. But before we do, I wanted to say thank you so much for 15,000 subscribers on Fightful Select. You guys are absolutely amazing. We're the first Patreon to ever do it. It's a really proud moment for everyone on Fightful, especially Sean and Corey. Because it's really built on the back of their scoops. I joke all the time. I'm very proud of the hard work that I do, but I always say that, like, I came in at the right time, and I'm really just riding the coattails of people that work harder than me and are better at this than me. So always very thankful to have a home at Fightful. Very, very proud of the work that gets done on Fightful Select, not only with the podcast that I get to be on, but of the work that goes up there, the integrity that it's reported with. We'd encourage you to subscribe if you haven't already. Not all of those 15,000 subscribers are at the $5 tier. Some enjoy the benefits of the $10 tier, and some are on our free tier. So when we have stories that are sensitive in some way, right, whether it's about injuries, releases, the sex trafficking investigation, or anything of the sexual misconduct nature, that goes on the free tier because there's some stuff that just feels kind of icky to paywall. You also get access to the headlines of what is on the free tier, or on the pay tier rather. So you can kind of check out and see for yourself, like, oh, I'm interested in that story. Maybe I will go subscribe, or at least you get kind of a taste of what's going on behind the paywall. You guys shout out Alba, who was great, not only on the Dynamite review yesterday, but also on the hump with Jimmy Van. Him jumping in at the last minute, we're so appreciative of. So thank you to John Alba for that. I don't know if he's up on the ROH product. I'll find out, though. He would be a fun one to have, even just on a guest rotation. A lot of people shouting out SP3. We always have a blast with him. So yeah, we'll keep those names in mind. We had Kimmy Sokol on the NXT review, but she's an ROH girl at heart. We always have similar gusto for the product. So very, very happy. But let's dive in. This is my first time on in 3 weeks. I'm a little frustrated because I feel like some bad habits are starting to creep back into this product, but we are still building storylines. I just felt like last time we were building storylines, some really important ones got abandoned right before the pay-per-view. So I'm hoping we get payoffs. Now, some of those, I don't know where Ethan Page is, but like the story over the boys, obviously they were released, right? So like there are reasons some of those stories got abandoned. It wasn't just like errant creative. So I understand that there are other circumstances that things might not get carried through on. But there are some things that are in their control that they're not taking advantage of, right? Some basic stuff that we were getting away from, of roster separation. Your favorite Lucha versus whoever for no stakes, not having champions around. We are starting to see those things creep back into the product, and that's frustrating. We also, while we had a lot of women's matches tonight, a lot of them were squash-ish vein. A lot of them were under 5 minutes. So not my favorite thing to see there, but that's a very week specific complaint. Like normally the women's matches are, even if not overpowering, the men's length of time. So that's just for this week that I have a complaint about that. Really, overall, women's wrestling is alive and well on the ROH product, and still some good progression, even with those shorter matches. So we will dive in right now. Kicking off and starting with one of my key complaints is who's on what roster and what division do they fight in? But we start with Isaiah Kennedy and Commander. And this ends with a low blow and to a Twist of Fate neck breaker. I don't really know what happened on this. I'm a little worried that Commander might be injured because he was favoring his shoulder, his left shoulder, I think it was, pretty heavily. And knowing what these two are both capable of, it really felt like they were going slower than they were capable of. Sometimes people just don't have chemistry. Sometimes really great wrestlers just don't have chemistry with each other. I always look at, I think it was Asuka and Rhea Ripley was like one of my, or was it? Yeah, I think it was Asuka and Rhea Ripley where I was, that was set up for WrestleMania, and I was looking forward to that match as much as anything on the card, and it just never really clicked in. And then it happened a second time, but it never really clicked in. And the third time was awesome. But sometimes wrestlers just, for whatever reason, don't have great chemistry. That could have been the case here, but it did look to me like Commander was favoring his shoulder. So hope he's not injured. We've had a lot of luchadors in and out with injuries. Hope he's okay. But the match was decent enough, just knowing what they can both do. Felt like they were moving a little differently or selling themselves short in some way. Felt like they were selling themselves short in some way. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate donations like this. Thank you so much. If you had a message that you wanted to send with that, feel free to regular chat it. But if not, we'll just take your money. We appreciate that. Get in those super chats if you could. Support our little engine that could show. We always appreciate it. So I don't know what you guys thought of the opener, but it just felt like it was a little bit off to me, knowing what these guys are capable of, for sure. Knowing what these guys are capable of. But we move into a match that I really, really liked, which was Top Flight and Action Andretti defeating the Dark Order. This was a blast. We get a promo before this from Bullet Club Gold. So even if our champions aren't around, at least they were present on the show in a way. They talk about unifying the AEW and the ROH six-man titles, which is good. And Jay White says they're running out of space for all the gold, but Colt and Gunn and the Bang Bang Gang run the six-man stuff. And if you're not down with that, guns up. We knew who was going to win this one because we know that we have Top Flights on the main roster and ready to go to challenge for these. And the Dark Order just, quite frankly, hasn't been getting used at all. Like, it's so weird. They felt so, like, in a spot where they were in a really good place initially when you had the Dark Order, who re-signed last year. So it's not like a contract thing, I don't think. But when you had them versus the Righteous for the custody of Stu Grayson, it felt so, at that point, like the only story that had any direction on the show. And it was a really well built out feud. I understand that Stu is no longer with the company, but they just stopped trying with the Dark Order and haven't given them anything outside of being Adam Page's buddy in years, it feels like, outside of that story. So that's a little frustrating and kind of tipped the hand of this match, but the match itself was great. It's never a problem with the in-ring on the show. I loved Andretti getting tagged in with that spinning heel kick to everyone. That was kind of a fun spot that you don't see a lot, a spinning heel kick taking out three guys. A little low on the believability, but like I kind of just dug it anyway. And I think that was really, really fun. But ultimately, you have Andretti with the pump handle slam to Reynolds for the win. And so that sets up Top Flight versus Bullet Club Gold, which I think will be a hell of a match, and I'm excited for that. I'm very, very ready for a new era of these six-man titles, both for ROH because they haven't been around and for the main roster because it just felt like this Acclaimed stuff was not a healthy run for the product, and they won them last August. If I can't tell you any defenses that are really memorable outside of TMDK, because I'm a TMDK mark and I got to see it live, that's not good. Like, that's not good. I think they had a defense against Top Flight, and that was pretty decent, but I really can't remember much else. I'm a big proponent of let Max Caster go on a singles run away from Bowens and let Bowens go on a singles run into what will hopefully be another Continental Classic. Let him be a babyface. I think he's awesome. I think the world of Bowens, and I just think Max Caster needs to figure out what an appropriate line is for what his gimmick is, and he has some work to do on getting better in the ring as well. Like, it feels to me like Bowens is the worker and Caster has some work to do. So, and Bowens has only been in a tag in a trio since you guys have seen him on television, at least. But if you followed him on the indies, you know he is more than capable of cutting his own promo, for sure. For sure. So we move along to Anna Jay versus Allison Kay, and it took me way too long to think about how their names are JK, and that made me gleefully excited as someone who loves puns over here. Like, that is my wheelhouse, but nice to see Allison Kay back in action. I feel like she offers something so different on ROH and in women's wrestling in general. I'm a big fan of the Hacks. I would love to see them around more. I would love to see women's tag belts floating across AEW and ROH, possibly New Japan Strong, have world tag belts. It just makes sense. Nobody on American television can book women's tag wrestling appropriately. Sometimes TNA does all right. But this singles match was decent. This is Anna Jay's third win, and she catches Allison Kay with the Queen Sleeper Slayer, which is great. Allison Kay did a great job selling for Anna, I thought, in this. And the tap out looks really good. Nice to see Anna Jay getting reps. There's a lot of wrestlers, and I find Anna Jay to be one of them, that consistent reps really affects the ability of how they are able to wrestle on TV. Like Anna, when she gets a couple in a row, you can just immediately tell. She starts to feel more comfortable. She's doing a really good job here adapting her, the way she works in the ring, to feel heelish, which I really appreciated. Sometimes it just felt like, other than her attitude, her mannerisms weren't really there to catch up. So I liked seeing that out of her as well. Kind of had some sneaky little tricks here, like her kicking out Allison Kay's knee and when she was going to the tie up there. I thought that was a good adaptation of working heel in the actual ring versus just adapting your heel persona. So some really, really good stuff there. So that was fun. It was like a 4-minute match. There's not a ton to say. I just like seeing Allison Kay on my screen a lot. And I hope we get to see more of her and Marty Bell, for that matter, around. Women's wrestling thriving all over the place. It's really nice to see, but definitely on Thursdays between what happens on ROH and what happens in TNA. So some very good stuff there. Thank you guys so much for the extra support. Ricardo saying congrats to Mark Briscoe on baby number 8. My goodness, that is a lot of babies. I can barely handle myself. I can't imagine having 8 kids. But happy for him. Happy, healthy baby after everything they've been through, especially. Always nice to have new life around. Always a really nice energy set when you get to bring someone new into the world, for sure. I've really appreciated Mark's singles work over the past year and a half or so, especially from the C2 till now, because it feels like his character arc was so alive from that point on. And you really get to see your ROH champion like have this really unique thing of being what feels like an underdog babyface matched with like this brawlery, dirty aesthetic and this badass moveset. And I just think that's such a unique combination of things. Like, you don't see all of those things a lot. You see that with like a Sami Zayn or whatever. And not to say other guys don't lay their stuff in, but he's kind of like has this gnarly way about him in the ring. And to see the way he builds empathy in the ring as a face, I just think the world of him. I just think the world of him. Jester Designs, a 29-month member here on YouTube. Thank you so much for the support, saying, so glad to be in the era of the fallen goddess Athena. May she reign 100 days more. Hope to chat it up more in the Fightful Discord, Kate. Yeah, I need to get my butt back in there because Twitter is disgusting and our Discord rules. But I do this with Discord all the time. I'm a part of a couple of them, and I'll be active for like 3 days, and then I just won't like participate. I just like forget to log in or whatever. So if you aren't a part of the Fightful Select Discord, I would recommend being so. It's a controlled community and everything is well organized in there by promotion and channel. It makes the conversations very organized. You can also something I put over on Fightful Select in general that is also in the Discord is just the Ask SRS feature. His Q&A show, I think, is one of the most valuable resources in the industry. I say it all the time. And then in the Discord channel, if you're like, I was wondering about this thing, you could just pop it in there. And if Sean is able to, he'll get you an answer for it, which is kind of nice because rather than submitting before the show, you just have it available right there. So some good stuff on FightfulSelect.com for you. Best $5 in the business. Let me know what you guys thought of tonight's episode on ROH. I did not love yesterday's episode of AEW Dynamite, and everybody else did. I loved the ending, but I also feel like I didn't really like tonight's episode of ROH all that much, and I felt like a lot of other people did, so I was like, maybe I'm just cranky. Like, maybe I'm just a little burnt out on wrestling right now or something. Like, maybe it's a Kate problem, because normally I'm not so cranky about wrestling in general, but here I was a little bit. NFL draft is also going on, so if the Steelers make any boneheaded moves, let me know. Or if they make any really good moves, let me know that as well. But we are going to move along in our episode of ROH here. We get a promo from Athena, Billy Starks, and Lexi Nair, who host an emergency minion empowerment meeting, a MEM, as they called it, which I really loved. Athena basically just says that after their brawl with Queen Aminata and Red Velvet at Battle of the Belts, they were going to offer a scholarship to an ass whooping to Velvet and Aminata, which was very fun. Excuse me here as I plug in my charger. Boy, oh boy, am I ready to get back into my studio. I've got so much new stuff to set up. This was a great little promo. We get a return one later in the episode too from Queen Aminata and Red Velvet. And I love this combo of Queen Aminata and Red Velvet. Like, Queen Aminata has so much presence that making her someone's heavy doesn't really feel like the move, because being someone's heavy has this kind of connotation of like, well, they can't talk and they're not a great worker, but they're really big and they have a presence about them. She's the complete package. But I think there's still a lot of value of creating a pairing with someone where it's not like you're just this person who lurks in the background and is a bruiser. Like, she can be the complete package and also paired with Red Velvet, and they can have an alliance that I think can be really beneficial for both of them moving forward. I like seeing alliances forming. I hope it's symptomatic of a tag division or more tag programs. Great way to get a lot of women on TV, because that whole division got used for the tournament. Like, that's why when it was Sheeta versus Athena, I was kind of bummed, because I was like, oh, they just sent someone down from the main roster. But it was someone that they teased this match with before over and over again. And the rest of the division was in the tournament. So I can't be like, well, you're not using one of your own. It's a fair thing. It's a fair thing there. But a fun little vignette here. I love that we're continuing with Mem. They've got all the gold in Minion World. Athena surpassing the 500-day mark, which is awesome. Congratulations to her as champion. I really want her to move up to the main roster just like everybody else, but right now I will happily settle for her getting main roster opportunities like she did for Battle of the Belts, because she needs to get called up with great intentionality if she's going to lose those belts. They need to have an opening for her, and they need to have it be at the top of the card, because she has done too much work and she's too damn good not to be at the top of the card on the main roster the second she goes up. So I would rather them hold off on that and bring her up in a spot that is called for in a cool way. I do think more opportunities on the main roster, on pay-per-views, Battle of the Belts, things like that, champion versus champion where neither title is on the line kind of stuff would be beneficial. But I also recognize, one, she faced Willow Nightingale a million times already. And so Athena versus Toni Storm would have to take a lot of creative to get there. So we'll see. We'll see how things shake out, but very happy to have her here. I always put this over, and it's because I truly feel like it's important, and I truly feel like it matters. It matters to me. When Ian Riccaboni, and now Nigel McGuinness has done it as well, talk about Athena's title reign, they speak about it with the same reverence as other ROH title reigns that have been of this length. Ian specifically has called out Nigel McGuinness, Bryan Danielson, Samoa Joe. And it means a lot to me that a women's wrestler's name is in the same breath as that caliber of talent, of that high regard, of that high respect. So I'm glad they continue to do that. But congratulations to her. I've said it on here multiple times, and I'll say it again because I think it bears repeating as well. Not trying to retread, but the fact that she won Women's Wrestler of the Year from the ROH spot tells you everything you need to know. Because this show was not a priority. It's just not a priority in AEW. And it's also paywalled, so not as many people watch it. And they still know. They still know she was in-ring Women's Wrestler of the Year. So good on her. Makes me very happy. But I'll tell you what doesn't make me happy, and that's this TV couple, okay? This Johnny TV and Taya Valkyrie running around. Johnny TV. This is his comeback match. He had to rehab his abs, they say. Not his ribs, but his abs, which absolutely killed me. I loved that. And he faces Will Austin. This was fun. He busted out some stuff that he doesn't normally do, I felt like, in this. Like, there was a little bit more MMA focused. But he ultimately wins with the Starship Pain off of the distraction. Taya jumped up onto the apron to cause it. And we did get like a nice surprise crossbody from Will Austin in this, but not a match for the picture perfect Starship Pain that we got. A good match. A good match. I feel like Dream B saying ROH, great wrestling, but superfluous booking. You know, it's not even just like, I guess it is superfluous in a way, but it just feels like main roster's leftovers booking. Like, Isaiah Cassidy being on this makes no sense. Where is the pure division? We're going to talk about some good stuff that happened with, like, Josh Woods and Arya Daivari in that group. Because I like where they're going with Mark Sterling and this triumvirate. But, like, if you used to watch ROH and you watch it now, you went from the most logical American presentation of wrestling to the least logical. And it's because it feels like there's just leftovers. It used to be you declared a division and then you worked in that division until you got a title shot. So if I wanted the pure title, I worked through the pure division. If I wanted the TV title, I worked in the TV division. And now it's just like, oh, Orange Cassidy didn't do anything. Well, he's a fan favorite. Send him out there. Like, that's not good. There has been more cohesion the past few months. That felt like it got uprooted at the pay-per-view. We are getting some storylines building coming out of that pay-per-view. But overall, like, who is on your roster? What divisions are they in? Why do luchadors only get thrown in for, like, do some crazy shit matches? It's getting obnoxious. Like, it's getting obnoxious to see those old habits creeping back in. Because the talent deserves better. I care about me as someone that reviews the show because I don't want to come on here and say the same things every week. I don't think that's providing any value to you guys, right? But it's more that the talent deserve to be spotlighted in a way that is fair and favorable. To me, what I loved about what was going on with Ethan Page, other than the fact that I think he's a hell of a wrestler, was it felt like he was somebody that was really taking pride. Like, really taking pride in Ring of Honor, in the TV title story that he was in. The way he talked with, like, such reverence about ROH and how important it is to be the guy on whatever brand you're on and to make that your goal after Final Battle, I thought was really, really important and sincere. And it felt kind of like he was the only one in the men's singles division that was really doing that. And now I don't know where the hell he is. I don't know if his contract's up. I don't know if he's working through personal stuff or an injury or what. I have no idea where he is. But it ain't on my TV and there's not an explanation. And that sucks. That sucks. Let's move along. We get a match that I know whether Big E saw it or not, he is smiling ear to ear. Okay. Cause this was the meatiest meat match that ever meated. Cause there were six of them and they were all enormous dudes. You have the Mogul Embassy, Brian Cage, Khan, and Toa Leona versus Manders and Beef Tank, which is a wrestler named Beef, and Calvin Tankman making his ROH debut. Calvin Tankman, a fantastic wrestler, did some really great work in MLW, does some great work in GCW and on the indies. Very cool to see him getting his ROH debut in this. You have the Mogul Embassy winning with the triple power bomb, but this was a blast because I feel like the Mogul Embassy, really big dudes, the Machine, right? Like, and it's guys with very serious personas and they're there to kick ass. So smooth in the ring, and not nearly enough credit is Khan. Like, extremely smooth with everything he does. Manders and Beef Tank had a ton of personality too to offset this, especially Beef. You saw it come through a lot, and it was just fun to have that contrast in this. Every match on this card, I could have told you who was winning it from just looking at the card, right? So that's a challenge that they need to figure out how to address, because if that happens with some matches, that's kind of inevitable. Sometimes predictable is good when it's the logical booking decision. When every match is that way, it's a significantly less suspenseful or exciting product to watch. I don't know if they're ever going to address the fact that the Mogul Embassy and Swerve aren't together. I feel like we never got any resolution other than the fact, like, he's a face now, so he doesn't mess with those guys. I don't know if they're going to come back for him, like, still leaving the window open for that, right? But he kind of was like, I'm taking Nana and leaving the rest of you. Like, you are no longer my moguls. You could go away. And also, Prince Nana didn't come out with them for this, right? So there's creative loose ends with that. I'm not saying it's an oversight, but it is unresolved. Again, are they a trio? Which program are they on? Is Brian Cage a singles wrestler and they are tag wrestlers? The clarity of which division they're on and which show they're in is not something I should have to perpetually ask, especially about former six-man champions twice. So Not sure what the deal with that is. However, this match was a whole bunch of fun. I hope you guys liked it as much as I did. I thought this was a very fun meat match. This might have been my match of the night. This was a fun one. This was just a blast. A lot of big man stuff in it. That was very fun to watch. For sure. And we'll move on to something that I was very excited to see and has been a nice reintroduction back into the program. You guys know I'm a big Josh Woods fan. If you've seen this post-show before, I've been begging for them to utilize this guy. I think he is so good. The tagline, nickname, moniker, whatever, of the Technical Beast is one of the most on-the-nose things you could say about someone. What do you think of Josh Woods? This guy is a technical beast. He is an extremely 4K wrestler, and that he is both of those things. He's incredibly technically sound. He did so much fun work in the Pure division, but he also hits like a freaking house, man. Like, that guy hits so hard. So I'm always rooting for that guy, and I am glad to see what we got out of this, which I will tell you about right now. There was a video package that was just for Aria Daivari. Seems like half the people that they cut, they brought back. So if Tony Khan is too nice to cut people, there are worse things in the world. But, like, let's not make that a habit, like that roller coaster. Because Aria Daivari was let go. There's other people that might be on their way back. I've heard rumblings of. Obviously, Anthony Henry they brought back. So there's, like, all these. I'm glad. I would so much rather people get to have their jobs. But it's just very funny slash odd to me. But we got Aria Daivari, who is backstage in this video package. And Sterling just says that Daivari has never needed anything, but he has a desire to be the best. Basically just reiterating the fact that Aria Daivari has the look. He's got the smarts. He's got the in-ring wherewithal, like saying that he is essentially a full package. And then we cut backstage to a promo with Josh Woods, Tony Nese, and Aria Daivari. Much more serious presentation. And I like this for Mark Sterling because as fun as the goofy lawyer stuff is, I think it has a ceiling. And I think it needed some dimension. And we got that here. Sterling says that their attack on the infantry was nothing personal. It was because they were in the line of fire, but said that the infantry was among many in ROH that had opportunities that the premier athletes are owed. What I like about that is it's kind of true. Josh Woods, like, ate up a bunch of wins. Tony Nese was eating up wins before his big loss to Ethan Page. So I kind of like that they leaned into it, but the video package was very slickly produced, looked great, said a lot of really poignant things. This promo was just a very, like, we're the real deal kind of thing. We're coming out here. We're a bunch of badasses. We're going to go out there and get some wins. And if you're in the way of that, Tough S. So, Asian Joe, my Wednesday night co-host at the Mark Order podcast, helps me deal with all of Ryan's songs and bad jokes. I would never sing songs or do bad jokes. Not once. With the WWE CW handshake, TK's ROH. Also, way to keep waving the ROH post-show flag, Kate. Yeah, I get and can relate to the temptation to not do this anymore when we've been saying the same things week over week, right? Like, I certainly can identify with Reg wanting to prioritize the rest of his time. His podcasting schedule has also picked up quite a bit since we started the show. He's doing a ton of great work with Denise. I'm a sicko, and so I will cover anything that you ask me to. That is why I do this now. Basically do it 6 nights a week. And if there's a pay-per-view, it's every day. But I love it. So I'm going to keep doing it and I'll find someone to do it with me probably. Or I don't mind doing it solo. I love doing this. I love talking to you guys. So good stuff. Thank you, Joe, for your chat. I appreciate you. And let me tell you, if I did need to take a day off, and Joe wasn't there, it would be Wednesdays because I can't handle... Ryan's got so many bits. He's just alone in his world. No, I'm just kidding. I love Ryan. I love my Mark Order crew. You can check us out at Mark Order Pod. I'm going to at least overly plug myself if I'm going to be alone out here today. You can check us out talking all things All Elite every Wednesday at 10:15 p.m. Eastern.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But we move along to Yuka Sakazaki and Layla Gray. Man, I think Yuka got injured again this week, which sucks. She just got back, and I think she injured her leg, which is so rough. But she does get the win in this. Gray tried to go for a Sasaki sunset bomb, but missed the target. And she took control with the big spin, which was a really, really fun sequence in this. But she wins with the slingshot splash, say that 10 times fast. Layla Gray is very young in wrestling years and years on earth. She is an incredible talent in that she is one of the most multifaceted people in wrestling, singing, dancing, wrestling, modeling, tons of charisma, tons of upside. I do think she should learn and grow under the AEW umbrella from an in-ring perspective. And I do think she's someone who benefits when she has a more substantive story to sink your teeth into, rather than being like the kind of women's wrestler who's going to go out there and like, I'm just going to light it up in the ring. And that's enough to kind of sustain where this needs to go. Like there's some wrestlers who like, I did an episode with Wrestling Brain, and it was all about Bret Hart, and we got to listen to a shoot interview of his, and it was all about like in-ring focus. I know, a huge shock. And there's some wrestlers that like cater to that. And there's some that like in a very American style are better when there's more story behind it. And I just think that's where she's at right now. So but this was fine. This was another one that was like 3.5 minutes. So it's just not a ton to say about it, but Yuka getting the W kind of feels like they were just getting her on track, man. And then she got injured again, which absolutely blows. I hate that. Releases and injuries are the worst part of this piece of what I do. It sucks way more for the people that get released and injured. Let me be extremely clear, but it just sucks. The two hardest things I've ever had to do on air were Jay's passing and Bray's passing. I went on minutes after finding out about Jay's, and maybe an hour and a half, I think, after finding out about Bray's. And then beyond that, just releases are always the worst, and injuries just suck, especially when someone returns from injury and then immediately gets re-injured. Like that just, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because it's never lost on me how hard this is for wrestlers. Never, ever lost on me that like wrestling is one of the most physically demanding and unnatural things that you can do with your entire body. Like it just is. And they do it to entertain people, honestly. Like it's pretty wild when you think about it. Well, this I don't like. We go backstage. It's Lexi Nair with Griff Garrison and Cole Carter, who are talking about their most recent losses. Griff Garrison saying that his was supposed to be for the title, which I liked him talking about how the stakes of his were a little bit more important than Cole Carter's. Kind of weird to get into like a loser off. Like that felt a little bit odd, but I liked that Griff Garrison was digging into this side of him of having an attachment to what he's doing as far as knowing that it was a big opportunity and he missed out on it. But Maria interrupts and she tells them that every loss is a learning experience. Felt very teachable moment kind of thing. Felt very, what is it, Modern Family? The dad on there, Phil Dunphy, being like, this is a teachable moment. But she said the rest of the locker room would be jealous of their success at some point. And that Kanellis should Canales told them they should go for her titles, the ROH World Tag Titles. Now, this seems like an inevitable feud, right? You have Griffin Cole. Her husband is Mike Canales Bennett, obviously. They hold the titles. We're going to talk about their match in a moment. But I just don't like losing upward. It doesn't work for me. And it definitely doesn't work in ROH. Particularly when it doesn't feel like they've been particularly featured heavily, or that there hasn't been like a trajectory of we were so close either. You know what I mean? Like there wasn't, it wasn't like Daniel Garcia in the Continental Classic where he almost lost out except for the one spoiler win. But like, he unlocked something every single time. Like we're not seeing an overarching progression with them. So this creative doesn't work if the stories don't back up what they're saying in that way. But that does bring us to the Undisputed Kingdom versus the Outrunners in a Proving Ground match. I am so sick of Proving Ground matches where not a single person proves their ground, man. This has just been the case over and over and over again. Just don't do a Proving Ground match then. Like, just do a defense if they're going to keep losing. Just have them lose. Like, it just, if nobody ever proves their ground, the stipulation is completely pointless. It's like if you had a steel cage match and the whole thing took place just inside the ring, or and there was a lumberjack match, but nobody went to the outside. Like, I don't understand why we're continually doing proving ground matches if nobody ever wins. It takes me out of it. I will say there were a couple spots in this that at least brought the stipulation into play that I thought were really well done from the Outrunners. There was a hot tag from Magnum to Floyd, and we got some scoop body slams. And then all of a sudden it was like pretty close to the 10-minute time limit. And Mike Bennett just immediately started panicking. And so that's when we get Tara finish, which was to the ground, handful of tights for the pin. Lets the heels cheat, put some urgency behind the 10 minutes. They finally got close to the 10 minutes, at least in a proving ground match. Also loved them going for the boot camp and it failing in this. This kind of keeps the story with the infantry alive. So a lot of work got done in this that I felt like was very productive, and I really liked it. And later the Outrunners interrupt the infantry, who are giving a promo, which leads to the match between the two of them next week. I'm very excited for that. I'm glad they're continuing the story. I think the infantry really have something special about them, all three of them, by the way. And I really feel like they've settled into something. They've unlocked something. Their match with the Iron Savages was great. They looked good in the tag tournament on the main roster. They're talk about this all the time from like an artistic perspective. To me, in any art form, wrestling included, like the thing that makes you great is finding the unrepeatable magic about you. There's so many archetypes in wrestling, right? But if you find the unrepeatable thing about you, that's where the magic happens. That's when it feels like art. That's when it feels like something original. That doesn't feel like I'm tracing somebody else's work. You could be inspired by someone else's work, but it doesn't feel like I'm a carbon copy. So I really appreciate that. And I feel like they're getting closer and closer and closer to that as time goes on. I don't have a moderator, so please just be nice in the chat. I can't follow what everybody is saying, but it seems like it's getting combative, so let's just chill. I don't have a mod and I'm dyslexic. Please be nice to me. We're moving along here. Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Or don't get in your humper chats. I'm just so used to saying it. I don't have humper chat access, but I do appreciate all the support that you guys are giving us. Again, this is a little weird flying solo without Reg again, but we're making it work. We, of course, have the TNA post show coming out on the back end of this. Joel and Cresta back in action. So much going on in TNA world. Broken Matt Hardy returned at the pay-per-view. Nick Nemeth doing great work. Santana showing back up. Mustafa Ali, they're doing like a ballot box match to find out who his next opponent would be. Doing great stuff in the X division. I am so happy for the wind in the sails of TNA, as the AEW roster is so full and the WWE roster is so full. TNA getting a nice little like talent bump and the indies getting a nice little talent bump has been really awesome. So A lot of positive momentum, it feels like, in the TNA product, despite all of the leadership drama that has happened. So nice to see that there. Big, big, big pay-per-view. Wildly successful this weekend, from my understanding. So I am happy for them. Leave a thumbs up on this video if you would. And I'll also just take another minute to remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. So much information coming up there. WrestleMania news broke the other day. The possibility of them moving WrestleMania to May, which would feel great, but weird. Tons of stuff. More contract news coming up. Finn Balor kind of outscooping us, but ultimately ending up with the scoop. Tony Khan and his neck brace updates on there. And of course, unfortunate news, the injuries and the releases of the past week to 2 weeks are on the free tier as well. So subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. The chat letting me know they're being respectful and they're conversing. I appreciate that. I appreciate good sound back and forth. I just want to make sure everybody's being nice. So we will move along to Taya Valkyrie with Johnny TV out there versus Lainey Luck. Lainey Luck, a fantastic talent that's been in the independent scene for a while. Very, charming presence about her. I really like Lainey. I think she does some really good work. And I was glad to see her show up here. She loses pretty quickly to the STF from Taya. I love that Taya and Johnny both come out for each other's matches. Like, it's not just the gal valeting the dude or vice versa. It's kind of, you see it on the AEW main roster with Julia and Brody. Like, I love that relationship. And especially because they had, like, the Johnny Loves Taya show that just wrapped up. Like, the idea that they're always in each other's shit, I just think is very, very fun. So I appreciate that about them for sure. So nice to see that even. This is kind of more similar to the work that they were doing in Lucha Underground, which I didn't watch, like, fully. But I did see enough of to know that they had the personalities for these kind of more larger than life characters that we're getting out of them. And I love it. I loved the feud with Dalton. I know the boys being released really affected kind of the blow off, but I thought it was a bunch of fun. I love what we're getting out of them. I also think this is the best Taya has worked in a bit, probably since coming over to AEW, arguably since post NXT release. Like, I think she's doing a lot of really good work. You know, she's worked really hard on her conditioning. It shows up. She looks great. I think she's always looked great, but you can just tell the movement just feels a little bit more effortless with her. And it's awesome to see. It's awesome to see. So happy that she continues to be a pillar in this women's division. Excited for her eventual title challenges, because it feels like they've got to be on the way soon for sure. Taya Valkyrie TV, I mean, it writes itself. So some good stuff there. But quick work. A lot of quick matches on the ladies' side today, which, again, normally I'd complain more, but we get a lot of really great women's wrestling with some real match times in this. Lance Archer and the Righteous, Vincent and Dutch, defeating John Cruz, GPA, and Ren Jones. Again, a consistent thing that I had an issue with throughout this episode was it was just so inevitable who was winning all of these matches, right? But I want this trio to be a trio, and I want them to go for the belts. I don't know if I want them to go for the belts immediately, because I actually think it would be extremely interesting if Lance Archer and the Righteous, and they should also just, the three of them should be called the Righteous, but I think it would be really interesting if they were the ones to dethrone Bullet Club Gold. I think they could get made by that. And I think that should be a few months down the line. But I do think that Lance Archer has done some fantastic work in this company. He's never really put on a track. I do feel like part of that is probably because he does work New Japan quite a bit. So it's like, if you're going to be disruptive in the way that your schedule goes, sometimes that can make booking just a little bit tricky. So I think it's important that he still is regarded as, like, he's always the guy that, like, the champion loses to, or you beat on your way to the champion, it feels like I want him to have something to sink his teeth into in this company, because I just think the world of Lance Archer. And the Righteous are incredible. The Righteous are incredible. I have so much love for Vincent and Dutch. And this match was fun. This match was really fun. This John Cruz guy, I can't put my finger on it, but he reminds me of someone. I don't know. He reminds me of someone that I just feel like he reminds me of someone Nyla Rose would have a huge problem with. That's how I feel. I don't know why. It's just like giving that. It's just giving vibes that he is reminiscent of someone that Nyla Rose just like would hate. But obviously that's not the case. That's clearly just me just like feeling things out. But it's him and GPA and Ren Jones. This was decent. This was another kind of pseudo squash. This is probably how, when you have Lance Archer and Dutch on the same team, they should be pretty dominant wins. I love Vincent. I talked about this a little bit with Alex Pulaski on Select. There's something really cool about how many times their vignettes, they're dressed in white, where everybody goes so dark and creepy with the spooky stuff. But they have like this whole, Vincent has this hippie thing with him, and they wear white so often that it's like such a different thing in the space. And it kind of sets them apart from being that blue collar Texas Chainsaw Massacre team. It feels like something very different. And I love that. And then Lance Archer doesn't feel that way at all, but still totally makes sense with them somehow, in my opinion. I love it because he's the murder hawk, right? Like, that's just fun to me. But Vincent and GPA kind of kick things off in this. This was fun. But you get a really nice spot in here with Archer no selling some chops, which, like, Lance Archer is allowed to no sell some chops. He has the right to do that. And he lands a beautiful full Nelson slam on Jones. But this ends with Vincent hitting the Orange Sunshine, Archer grabbing GPA for the blackout, and then throwing GPA onto Cruz, Dutch standing on the men, getting the pin. So I also love how much tandem offense there were. Like, not tandem tag offense and another guy, like the three of them work together really well. And Butch and Lance Archer feel so different to me. I have no problem with like multiple big men being in this. So I really enjoy this. I just hope that we start to get some stakes, and I hope that we get some trios facing trios that aren't just three guys thrown together, because I want to be in suspense about the endings of things. But good stuff here. I think the world of all these guys, and I was happy to see it. Another quick women's match, women and they, I should say, I should be more clear, Abaddon and Nova. So you have the dead zombie gal and an exploding star. Who's going to get the better of that? But this was quick. This was fun. Nice to see Abaddon also getting some consistency. I talked about that with Anna Jay before. Abaddon doing an incredible amount of work on their conditioning as well. It shows up. They look great. They really, I think, have found a way to match character with being able to make a realistic wrestling match kind of click in, even though that wasn't the case here. We've just been seeing some progress in that regard. But you have Nova getting the drop on Abaddon, hitting a bulldog and a cover, Abaddon kicking out, and you get a reverse bulldog in this. A Meteora from Abaddon, followed up with a Senton and the Black Dahlia. And that was it. So some early offense from Nova, Abaddon taking control and taking the rest of it home. And a lot of screaming, like a whole lot of screaming. Because, look, I can't relate to that. I am alive. I'm a fully alive gal, which is neat for me. I don't know, like, maybe I had a past life or two. I don't know. But, like, I don't relate so much to Abaddon, though I appreciate Abaddon. But I'm just, like, alive, chilling, doing wrestling podcasts. Not, like, a, you know, not so much a dead gal that's alive. So I can't relate to her struggle. But I'm sure if I could, I would also be screaming a bunch. That's just the way it goes. Backstage, we get Johnny and Taya, who are there for the third time. We saw a lot of reoccurrences this week, both at AEW and on the ROH side. AEW saw a ton of Don Callis yesterday, right? Like, it was a lot of the same people showing up a lot on the episode, whether that's your taste or not, that's up to you. But we did get a lot of Johnny and Taya, and they have such, they're such veteran presences as well that I feel like you need me for three segments, I can show up for three segments and I can make them all different and entertaining and whatever. Like, I appreciate that about them and the quality of the work that they do, but they're there to talk about their hit web series, Johnny Loves Taya, and Aaron Solo comes up into the picture. Very nice to see the Nightmare Factory faction starting to get some more reps here as well. They kind of just disappeared. Nice to see them around. And he says that he thinks he should be featured on the next season of the show. And Johnny was like, you didn't even retweet our links. And then Taya's like, well, hold on. Yes, he did. Which cracked me up. He was like, you didn't even give us the social buzz. And now you want to be on the show. Absolutely cracked me up. Loved that there. They basically say he doesn't have the cachet. And he says next week he's going to prove they're TV ready. So again, nice to have some more stuff continuously building into next week. I like the work that Johnny's been doing. I love the work that Taya's been doing. Some good stuff. And I think there's a lot that Aaron Solo in particular, just from having seen him in the ring, can learn with Johnny. Like, I think there's a lot of benefit to them having an in-ring match or maybe a continued relationship there. Guys, we're going to bring on Cresta and Joel in just a moment. We're so happy to bring the TNA post-show back on the other side of this. We were all off for 2 weeks. I'm very excited that they're back after what was a really strong pay-per-view for them. We're still going to talk about this main event here, but if you had any more super chats that you wanted to get in, you could do so, just like Luis did, saying, sending some love to Kate also to complain that ROH is weird again, that the IWGP Global Champ lost to Eddie Edwards. At least we get Beast Mortos. Yes, we can talk about Beast Mortos. Your timing is excellent, Luis. It's weird because ROH was so lost that made a ton of progress, and then we're seeing regression, but not of everything. Like, we do have some consistent storylines building a little bit, but you're also just seeing random luchador versus someone who was backstage again, and that stuff sucks. Like, we don't need that. It was a tainted victory, Luis. I wonder who could be under that handle. Definitely not Joel, who saw the product. But let's talk about our main event before we bring them on here. Guys, any more super chats that you want to get in, feel free to. Also, a reminder to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. There is contract news just coming all year. You want your Drew McIntyre updates? You want your Finn Balor news? Head over to FightfulSelect.com and subscribe. We had so many post-shows over the past couple weeks. I don't even know what to tell you as far as, like, WrestleMania week hit. We had a ton of post-shows, and then we had Collision and Rebellion and SmackDown and AEW. There's so much going on regular Fightful. You also get all those bonus episodes on Fightful Select as well. So head on over there and subscribe. But the Beast Mortos versus Blake Christian and AR Fox was such a fun combination of guys. And what's so interesting about this match to me is we talk about styles making matchups all the time, right? And I love that and I appreciate that. This almost felt like these guys had the same style, but like subgenres within those styles. And that made for a lot of fun. Everybody could do cool athletic top rope stuff. Everybody could move really quick. Beast Mortos being a little bit more of the hard hitting truck, but like Blake Christian is so quick and AR Fox is so agile in the way that he delivers moves, like in all these really interesting ways. Super hard hitting, and then you have the Beast Mortos, right? So, but obviously very familiar with working with high flyers and lucha guys. So this was super fun. They had such a fun mix in here. Mortos catching AR Fox in like this reverse driver and getting to keep his undefeated streak was so much fun here. My favorite spot in this match, and I know this is a weird one to pick, but like Mortos going for that standing grapevine submission looked so brutal on AR Fox. A great sell from him. And then just Christian going to break it up, I thought was really, really good stuff. But Blake Christian's quickness showing up a lot. And not just he works really fast, quickness of like how fast the moves happen and how clean the execution is. Very explosive offense in this. I thought this was a ton of fun. I thought this was an absolute blast. So very fun. It felt like a main event, even though the stakes weren't really there. But nice to see this. Nice to see AR Fox getting back in the mix. Nice to see Mortos here. Mortos getting some consistent wins on ROH, which is very nice. And Blake Christian, I hope they get him on a better track soon, because it kind of is like they call on him when they want to do something fun and flashy. Like, he is too great of a talent and merges his style with logical storytelling way too well to not utilize that guy to his maximum potential. But guys, that was our episode of ROH. I'll keep you posted on whatever our plan is going to be, whether we have a host next week, whether I'm going solo, whether we're bringing guests on. I'll let you know if I'm going to be Solo Sikoa. Aaron Solo! Why am I saying Solo Sikoa when we had one right on the program? I could have left it at that, but we're going to bring on the TNA crew back in action. We're so excited to have Krista and Joel back. Joel, in a stunning upset as a Canadian, wearing a hockey, it looks like. My God.
I mean, I am Canadian.
That's wild. I did not know Canadians do anything about hockey.
Yeah, once in a while we have a hockey thing going. Once in a while.
Once in a while. I just didn't know. Didn't know that happened up there. And the beautiful Krista. My goodness, how are you doing, gorgeous?
I broke my headphones, so we're going to be toggling this microphone mute button all night. I was supposed to do something with Lyric today, but she had technical difficulties. And what was supposed to be space buns got out of hand. So I'm giving you a bouffant realness.
I kind of love it. It was medium. Like, as a standalone episode, it was all right. There's some good stories, but we have some familiar complaints kind of sneaking back in the fold. We did get our tag champions around, which never happened, so that was refreshing. But I'm loving this, like, 60s bouffant, but also, like, sexy Medusa thing going on. I'm in. I'm in on the hair that is happening with Krista right now.
There's a joke here about turning men into stone and being hard, but far be it for me to say it.
Oh, man. If only we had Blue Chew as a sponsor for this episode, I would have just, bam, been right there. But, guys, I'm going to throw it over to Joel and Krista. We're so excited to be back in action after the past couple of weeks. We thank you for your patience as we work through everything. But coming off a hot pay-per-view is TNA, so I'm going to throw it on over to them. Thank you guys so much.
Coming off a hot pay-per-view.
Hot pay-per-view,
a real one.
And then doing a special on Friday next week.
Oh, my God.
Bro, and the crazy part about that, my birthday is Thursday. I'm being a little bit delusional, and if you hear me, TNA, it'd be cute if you gave me some birthday tickets, because I think I might drive upstate. It goes in wrestling show for my birthday.
I can get you tickets. It's not a hard it's not hard to procure.
It's true. It's true. I think we could get you to stumble into some tickets if you really, really wanted to go. But happy birthday.
Thank you. Joel said we'll take next week off, but I think next week I'm going to be Sean Ross sat drunk on. I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that. I'm a professional.
Well, Sean ain't never been drunk on anything.
I'll just do it myself, if anything else. I'm telling you to take the night off.
Now I want to show up here and be the absolute worst. And if you guys want to help me be the worst, go ahead and send a super chat and humper chat so I can get a mustache. I want to come back with Mr. Monopoly. It's been too long.
She could have said, drop it in my Venmo, but she said a super chat because she is a team player. But I'm going to get out of here.
I take Venmo too. Listen, Benihana's is my favorite place.
Hey, all right. All right. Not bad about that. Not mad about that. But have so much fun with the post show. I'm going to get out of here. Very happy to have you guys back. Very nice to be back. Thank you for your patience and tuning back in. Wonderful people. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.